Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakening with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awakenings. I'm your host, Michelle Mache, and welcome everyone in the chat room as well. And hello to everyone listening later via iTunes and also, of course, the BTR archives. Happy Wednesday! Of course, if you want to call in for readings to chat or get a dream interpretation, the number is 347-539-5122. So hopefully, you know, also if I'm not able to get to you the readings because we either run out of time and our guest comes on at the second half of the program, you can always come in the next week and call or email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com or awakeningsatselfandlight.com with your questions. Tamara, thank you. Sound is great. Got my co-host in the chat, the Sacred Space of Empowerment Room co-pilots, co-hosts. I love it. Got a great program today. Had some people that emailed some dreams, so we're going to dive into that. We'll also get to readings. If you are online and you're just listening, that's great. But if you did want to get on air and ask a question or get a reading, please press 1 on the keypad, and that lets me know that you want to get on air. And sometimes I'll still pick up even if you haven't pressed 1, because I get emails. People are like, "Oh, I was waiting and you didn't pick up, and I was next, or I was on hold for 20 minutes." So I know people walk around, and in this day we're all multitasking and everything, and so you know we forget that we're on hold. And I had some really funny conversations that I've overheard while people are on hold, and I pick up, you know, unmute them, and or what they're doing or where they're at, or sorry, I didn't know I was next, and yeah. So anyway, lots of energy shifts. I don't know if people have been noticing this. I've been writing a lot about this on my blog, a lot to do right now up with relationships, and of course, because, you know, Saturn is in Scorpio. Where's my head? And so, you know, there's a lot of right now, I call it, you know, seeking deeper, meaningful relationships. And I feel like people's BS monitors are really up right now, as they need be. And one of the things that's going on with relationships is that if people aren't necessarily moving forward, or, you know, we all get stuck or unhappy, or, you know, of course, myself included, but for how long, you know, how long? And in fact, Tamara and I in the chat were talking about it, because I also did a post about gratitude, being thankful for our supports, you know. Who are the people that support us, and also what are the, you know, activities in our life that support us, or our routines, you know, our healthy habits. You know, I love my Pilates. I do my, you know, yoga, my booty yoga class, the foods. You know, I've been, you know, juicing a lot more. So, you know, there's a lot of support, meeting friends and going dancing, having a glass of, you know, wine or two. You know, the other couple weeks ago, with a big group of people went salsa dancing. So, you know, we are here, you know, not this heavy learning lesson stuff. You know, it's really about our creativity, our self-expression, just us being unique, divine individuals creating and sharing those creations, and in love, you know, love and service. So love, service, yes, we're going to learn. There are learning lessons. There are repeating patterns. But there is also kind of showing up kind of agenda-free and beyond the heaviness of perhaps what's gone on in the past. And I even did a, you know, post on that on Facebook about just, you know, it was funny. I was looking through one of my books that I like. You know, I like to open the page and get a reading, and it's about crystals, and it's a really, you know, really cool book. And actually, we've had her, the guest, Ashawn, I think is her name. We've had her on the program before. And then I realized I had all these bookmarks. And I'm like, Michelle, you really can't get a fresh perspective with all these bookmarks. You know, we all do. We all bookmark our pages or, you know, what is it, turn the corner over of the page. And which is great. I'm not saying don't do that. I'll probably continue to do that. But what I realized, because when I went into meditation, I got this flash. I thought, how often do we bookmark our life? We've got all these chapters in our life bookmarked. And that can be good, but it can also block us from what's really unfolding in the moment unfiltered, you know, uncensored. And there's something to the unfiltered. And what I'm realizing in, you know, the new emerging consciousness of the new paradigm, this new paradigm, what does it mean to show up in the meditative state? It's not showing up as anything. It's not showing up as a yogi, yoga instructor, a teacher, a dancer, a mom, a dad, or whatever, a musician. It's just show up and see what's evoked in that moment. It's very freeing. And let's see, Tamara said in the chat, I love that, subtle little things that shift our perspective. Yeah, huge shift, huge perspective shift. And I saw not only with myself, but people that I'm working with, friends, you know, and that's going to be my little thing. Hey, unbookmark that, okay? Just unbookmark that. And Tamara's putting, show up and see what is true for you in each moment. Yeah, because it can change. And when we get ourselves too locked in, I remember years ago, okay, so I'm going to disclose something. And Tamara's been saying, oh, you've been talking more about yourself and disclosing. And yeah, I guess so. I guess the time is right. But I remember I had a television show called Fashion and Beauty. And you know, on TV, they want you dressing a bit more conservative. And, you know, I remember the whole thing in the production meetings of the suit, you know, at least Michelle needs to wear a jacket, and not too strong of one, not a gray or a black. We can do gray sometimes, but let's do pink or pink little leather jacket, you know, which is cool, kind of a magenta pink. And, you know, the way you have to wear your hair, this and that. And, of course, and I was doing a lot more modeling and acting at the time. And still had my practice, my healing practice, and still totally steeped in my spirituality and doing readings and all that. And sometimes people couldn't see how that all went together. And I'm like, I don't know, but that's just me. I'm just showing up. I like doing this. And I'm doing this commercial now. And then tomorrow I do readings all day, you know, and I do healing work, and then I do charity work, whatever. But I remember I was out dancing, and I was just really into it. And this person came, I noticed somebody really staring at me. And they came over sheepishly finally, and they said, are you Michelle Mache of Fashion and Beauty? And I said, yes, I am. And they said, oh. And I said, what? You didn't know I danced? And they're like, no, we just, and I'm like, okay, everybody, people have a life outside of whatever else that they're doing. So I think, and why I mention this is for people not to get locked in. I mean, I had another situation where I was doing some amazing healing work, transpersonal work, and also psychic work with this, mainly the husband, but also sometimes the wife. And my friend and I later were near the beach rollerblading, and they were just shocked. They're like, oh. And I said, what? Well, we didn't know. And what, you didn't think a healer? You can't. In other words, you can't be spiritually connected and rollerblade. Okay. Well, we didn't expect to see you, you know, and I wasn't dressed, you know, it wouldn't matter anyway, but I wouldn't say provocatively, you know, leggings and a T-shirt. But that's what, see, the soul, I was re-listening to this interview I did in Canada, and in fact, I think I posted it on Twitter, and I was talking about there's a soul revolution. I think we all need a soul revolution. We need to wake up and be more real. You know, I constantly hear, you know, people in my practice and even unfortunately sometimes some of my friends are like, well, now that I'm a mother, I can't do my art or there's no time for that. And I'm like, yeah, but the baby is sleeping right now, you know, or they're going to preschool. So what I'm trying to share is not to lose yourself in your roles, not to lose yourself in what are your perceived titles, and start cutting off forms of your expression, your divine expression. Because really what you see at the end of the day, what really nurtures and serves, you know, all of us is our creative expression and our relationships, our love. Love, you know, when you're making, drawing that painting or you're, you know, mixing that, you know, new CD or you're the singer-songwriter or, you know, whatever it is, or you're doing that sculpture or you're helping your child, you know, learn how to paint. Or mix colors. Those are the things that you're going to remember. I've learned a lot about this by working with a lot of people at one point in times of transition, the ultimate transition, death, you know, doing shamanic work and also bereavement counseling, is the things they remembered were the, not only, a lot of times the things they built, if they were, you know, engineers or even business people that, you know, they built this great company and they, but it wasn't that they great this, they built this great company and they made all this money. It was that they built this great company and so many people had jobs from it and the experiences they had from building that great company, which is a creative act, and the people they met, the relationships, the people that they were able to help or serve. And I remember not only, I heard this also from Warren Buffett, but I also heard this from a client of mine, a you know, billionaire businessman, and he said, you know, we're really of service. He goes, that's what people forget. When you have a company, you're in service. You're serving. And if you can't serve well, you're not really doing your job well, no matter how much money you're making. And I thought that was kind of profound, that he felt he was a light worker being of service. He was working with light. You know, he worked with a water company. And so I think in this day and age, we're all moving. We, you know, many of us have already known this and living this, but it's getting it more into the mainstream consciousness that, yeah, this is really what we're here to do and free up, you know. So I would even ask yourself, how can you free up more? I know I'm even more into that. I'm, you know, what happens when you're living more from the higher self, more from the soul self, the template of your soul, there is this emerging or unfolding that happens. You know, in the old paradigm, the ego would try to stop that. We'd say, no, don't do that. Stop here. No more growth, because then you're going to mess up. You're going to do something that doesn't make so much money, and you have this built up. Not saying those aren't some concerns, but people would block themselves or stop their own impulses, healthy, creative, passionate impulses, because of what it was going to mess up. Or maybe it's going to upset the apple cart. But the truth is, if you're really living soul-aligned, a soul-centered life, if you're really connected to your soul, there is going to be this, not every day or all the time, but a little bit every day all the time. But, I mean, it's not going to be big, major changes all the time, but there is going to be an unfolding. There is going to be new insights, information, new directions, new ideas, maybe even new jobs or careers that are going to come through you, new desires, new goals, as you shift, you grow, you change. You know, it's like I say, as that kaleidoscope changes, a different color and scheme of colors comes into play to now be played out, because that's what we're all doing here. We're playing all this out. You know, as Muktananda calls it, the spirit of play. So it is very much like that. It's like a little child that gets curious. You know, now they're playing with one toy, but all of a sudden something catches their eye. And so I'm making, you know, not an effort, but a playful, joyful little focus to be allow more of that. And really, but, you know, kind of let's all do it together. And Tamara is saying, so important not to be afraid of the missteps. Learned that one recently. I'm always learning that one, Tamara, the missteps. Yeah, you know, and you know, the thing is, we do get off track or off path. But, you know, if you have if you're connected, I think, to your spiritual tools, you have good friends around you that say, hey, you know, or teachers or mentors or whatever, then you get back on track. So it's not that we're not going to ever misstep or misspeak. And in fact, I think sometimes we need to do that because I think life's a little messy. You know, things don't always come out, you know, really neat and tidy, so to speak. Profundity says you can't even learn to walk without the occasional misstep. That's so true, Profundity. That's so true. I know. You think about it. I don't know where we got this idea, but when we're learning something new, like there's this fear, like you're saying in the chat, to misstep. I mean, you're going to stumble. You're learning a new dance. Really, it's like learning a new dance. And you might have the rhythm for it. You might feel it. But maybe there's new steps that you're learning, you know, that you're calling into being. Okay, we're going to get to phone lines in just a minute. I also want to let everybody know we do have amazing guests coming on. Carl Anthony, who I met years ago, uses his music for inspiration. He does a lot of humanitarian work. He's just an energetic, inspiring fireball. Very creative and I think very inspirational as well. And he'll be coming on at the second half of the program. And hopefully we will get to that dream. I wanted to get to that dream from that person that emailed in. But let's start first with one of our callers. And again, other callers, if you did want to get on air, please press 1. And again, that number is 347-539-5122. All right, let's see, 770-322, welcome to Awakenings.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Hi, you're on air.
Yeah, I am. I was surprised because I didn't press 1.
Oh, you didn't, but it's showing.
Oh, okay, I did not. That's 1, but that's fine.
Know? Okay, wow. So, maybe everybody's got spirit guides helping them now.
Maybe.
You don't even have to press, because no one else had, and now that you've said that, now the other people, one is pressed. So maybe it's something with I don't know, but it's all good.
I don't know. Maybe it is spirit, guys, because I swear, I go in the computer sometime, and I know I didn't save it. I said, why is this saved? Things are saved
for
me,
there's
and I'm
been
glad
a
I
lot.
Didn't do it.
Yeah, there's been a lot more of that now, that more of, I call them kind of out of session, out of meditation, little miracles or little movements from, you know, the unseen, if you will, our spirit guides and higher self doing more things with physical manifestation. So, demonstration happens physically. So what's your first name?
My first name is Maddie.
Hi, Maddie.
Okay. Mattie.
Okay. And I'm
calling.
Maddie. Okay, cool.
And I'm calling from hot Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay, Maddie. All right, Maddie. And what's your question?
No specific question. Just what you pick up around me.
Okay, give me a question to kind of connect in with.
Okay,
we'll
I'm gonna ask you a
up.
Question. Okay, something just came to me, which was on my mind earlier, but I forgot. My sister Betty. What's going on with her?
Okay, now was she ill by any chance?
Not recently.
Like, but a while back. I feel like she hasn't quite been herself.
Yes.
And since the Maddie, she's not feeling well, and kind of I feel like a disgruntled. What I'm getting is a lot of kind of mental, emotional. I feel she's not trusting of the people around her right now, and I feel like either she feels like somebody said something out of turn towards her, something kind of bad, or you know. Negative? Were people talking about her?
I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure because I have not. I feel as though she's kind of vibrating on the low side, and She does have high blood pressure.
Okay, then that could be. She's not. Go ahead. And she's got what else?
She has arthritis.
Yeah, she's not feeling well. I got to tell you. And sometimes when people have long term not feeling well. I don't know how else to put it. They can kind of, you know, it does lower the vibrational frequency. I mean, we are in a physical body, so.
Right, uh-huh.
But I feel like she's, how do I say this? I really feel for her, but I do feel she's got herself in a little bit of a pickle. You know, it's kind of the chicken or the egg, you know, which came first. I do feel there's some kind of illness going on, and there, you know, you just said the blood pressure and the arthritis. She's not feeling well. You know, sometimes when you don't feel well or you don't think you look well, you're a little more judgmental of other people. That's what's going on
yes.
also with her.
That is judgmental
yeah.
of me.
Yeah. Well, and because she feels that you and maybe you are, I mean, we're talking about her now. Maybe you've talked to some other people. You're noticing some things, so she's feeling like you're kind of shiny and bright and you're out there and you think that everything's, you know, and I'm not saying this is true, you know, I'm just saying what's in
yes.
her head.
Yes.
And she's not, in other words, she's a wee bit in the victim mode. So, when people a lot of times have chronic illness or like aches and pains, some people kind of rise above it, and it's like, oh, it's okay, or I had a bad day, or somehow, I've seen it with people that are living with cancer or little kids. It's like, okay, I'm still out there playing, life is good. But then there are those people that they're pointing at themselves, or they're screaming, they're actually screaming out loud saying, look at me, you're not seeing what I'm going through. You know, you think everything's happy and perfect, but my life is so hard, my life is so bad. And some reason she's distrustful of you, and I feel some other people around as well. So again, I don't know if something's been said or done in the past. I do feel when she was sick, whatever that was a few months back, I feel like there was a deciding turning point. Things started getting worse. Now let's ask the guys what you should do, because that's what's happening. What should Patty do about her sister? Okay. Empathize, keep it light and positive. You know, even saying, I know what you must be going through, or it's hard if you have, you know, that's high blood pressure, you have the arthritis, or you're not feeling well. It's saying just kind of keep it light.
Keep it light. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
does that help at all?
It did. It does. Yeah, it does. But what I was going to say, she moved here from Massachusetts, and she said living here, here in Georgia, where the weather is warm most of the time, that she feels so much better being here. She doesn't hurt like she did in Massachusetts. And I think it is. It's something about me that she. It's just something about me that she has a, and maybe it is my sunshine, because most time I am pretty upbeat, and I just,
yeah,
I don't know why, I just be laughing and feel
but
good.
But see, sometimes it's hard for people when they have dark
clouds
in their mind.
They can relate to that.
Right, and that's what's going on. And so she's a little suspicious. She feels like, okay, maybe you judge me, you know, I'm not Susie Sunshine like you are, you know, Marvelous Maddie is out there again. And see, here's a key. Let's go back to something you said. You said she feels a lot better now that she moved to Georgia. So you see, she's really into her condition, which, by the way, rheumatoid arthritis, I mean, that can be very much usually. I've seen a lot of cases of that completely healed with change in diet, get out the sugar. You know, you got to go on a little strict diet for a while. Also, something that's good is this, and again, I'm just saying a suggestion, not diagnosing, et cetera,
yes,
et cetera.
Yes.
Check it out with your doctor, blah, 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 blah. But this seven, it's the number seven by Solgar, S-O-L-G-A-R, which is a herb. I started taking when I had my car accident because I had a lot of pain. They actually wanted to do surgery to get rid of the pain. And I was like, oh, my God, there's got to be something in the health food store somewhere. There's got to be something.
And it's called number seven?
Yeah, it's just seven. The number seven. It's like 14. I took it to my my osteopath and also my acupuncturist to look at, acupuncturist and nutritionist. Even though I researched it online as well, but apparently there's 14 different spices and herbs that counteract inflammation, which releases pain. And of course, what is arthritis is, you know, inflammation around the joint.
Check that out, because I'm
into it's good for a lot of things. In fact, my osteopath said, because it has turmeric in it, which is really good, boswellia. Apparently, it's also good for the immune system. I don't take it all the time now because I'm really starting to feel better with a lot of my, you know, workout and but you know, it's got a lot of great properties in it. So you might suggest that to her or a little present to her. But you just keep being you, Maddie. It's just hard for her. You know, she's in this all the time. I mean, look, she's even saying, you know, now that I moved, I'm, you know, it's better. I don't have as much pain because of the moisture, you know, and the cold and the moisture. So she's in it. You know, she's kind of saying, look what I have to live with every day. My life, what I keep hearing from her psychically is my life is hard. You know, look what I have to live with every day. My life is really hard. So sometimes when... Does that make sense?
I don't know, because she doesn't really talk about her life, but I do know that she will, I don't know why she point fingers at me about little things, because the reason, one of the reasons I asked, because she asked my daughter, why did I pick her? I have a 6-year-old grandson, and he was at her house, at her granddaughter's on Sunday evening, and so my daughter had asked me if I get a chance to go by and pick him up, because she gets out of work at 11 p.m., so I told her I will if I get the chance. So when I got home, I called my sister and say, is Lawrence okay? She said, oh, yeah, he's fine. He's playing with the kids. He's having a good time, da-da-da. And so my daughter said to me yesterday, she said, and Betty said, how come I didn't pick Lawrence up? She said, what? Why did I didn't pick Lawrence up? You know, she know that she got out of work at 11 p.m. And I say, I didn't pick Lawrence up because I spoke with her. And I told her that you were fine, because you didn't have to report to work on Monday morning, that you were fine. And he goes to camp on Monday morning and say, everything was good. And so she was pointing fingers at me like, why did I pick him up? And I was talking to her, and she said, he needs an X360, PlayStation or whatever.
Xbox.
And I said, yes. I said, his father has all of that. And she'd say to me, oh, why come you don't buy one? And I thought, oh, my God. That's why. I said, why is she picking on me? I'm minding my own business.
Yeah. Well, tell her she can buy
him
one.
Yeah, I like it,
then.
But I think
you're going to have to... you're a little just too happy and out and transparent, and sometimes that pushes people's buttons. But Maddie, it is saying just be light with her. You're not going to be best buddies or best sisties, you know. So
I figure that right now. I figure that
okay.
out, and
she's not going to be changed.
I think that much out, but I still love her. And I was just stay away from her as much as possible, because she does. I don't know what it is about me. I just cannot help it. Believe me, I wasn't always. I didn't always feel this happy. I don't know. Something switched. And this God, the universe, something switched inside of me, and it feels good.
Well, just hold the space for her to switch, but you know that if she does or doesn't, you love her anyway, but sometimes you have to have more space from her, because it clearly is she's not very happy and also feeling kind of misunderstood, and I think it's hard sometimes when people, and it could be even emotional pain. It doesn't have to be, you know, physical pain
yeah,
or illness. It could be just, yeah.
A lot of stuff intertwined, husband and all of that,
Exactly,
yes.
All of that. And so sometimes, you know, people want that acknowledgement. Even if you look at their life, it doesn't seem that hard. You know, I work with sometimes clients that have, I mean, if you look on the outside, they have everything, and they're still not happy. They're still.
Well, I know. I believe that.
So you got to kind
believe.
Of, you know, just honor. They're holding that space in the universe for that expression. And just,
well, I'm here to tell them.
You know,
I'm here to tell anyone, anybody, it comes from within.
Yeah, that's so true. It all does.
It comes from
thanks,
within.
Maddie. Thanks for calling in. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Calling in.
I'm glad I did. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, other callers on the line, if you'd like to get a reading or dream interpretation or just chat, press 1 on your keypad. Let's get to 646-729. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hey, Michelle, it's Owen.
Hey, Owen. How are you?
How you doing? I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great today.
Good.
Today's kind of a – been very full already this morning, but it's very cool. Very cool. Thank
yeah,
you
I feel
here.
That, too. It's a great day. Good.
Yeah. How's your music, by the way?
It's going really well, actually. I'm doing a lot of it, and I'm really excited about, you know, recording. And so, yeah, it's coming along really well.
And touring. I feel live performances.
Yeah, I'm performing on Friday, actually. Some random person just called me and asked me to perform at this show. So, yeah, so you called it. And I also just wanted to let you know that job that you you know, saw me getting, I have a final interview on Friday, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to get it. So,
good.
Anyway,
yeah,
just wanted
yeah.
to let you know. But I have kind of
thank
a
you.
General... Yeah, you're so welcome.
Go ahead.
But, yeah, I really appreciate all your insight, so just want to let you know. But, yeah, I have kind of a general question. I remember I called in a while ago, and you said that you kind of picked up on the fact that I was – sort of meant to use my body more than the average person, I guess, in this lifetime. And just kind of wondering what, you know, if you could expound upon that or, you know, because sometimes I, you know, I feel like I...
Was it movement?
I wondered,
was it movement? Let me... Use his body more.
Yeah, I, you didn't really expound upon it, but I was, you know,
well,
I
what
do...
what were we talking
I,
about? How did... Okay,
well,
I never
well,
know what's going to come
yeah,
through.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, that's okay. you know, I do massage and, you know, I'm starting to do yoga, too. I went to school for massage and yoga. And, you know, yeah, just kind of wondering. I guess sometimes what I'm really asking is I feel kind of disconnected from my body sometimes. And just sort of.
Well, maybe that's, yeah, that's
yeah.
it. Use mm-hmm. your, okay, here it comes. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, movement, the yoga, but also. Now, didn't I see you with something? I keep seeing bike. What is that?
I
bicycle,
know.
Biking.
I know. Wow, what's that about? It's true.
Go, did I? Okay, so that's probably it, using your body to move around.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. I feel yoga, but I feel like you need, there's a little more yang-y, unless, and not necessarily Ashtanga or, you know, but I don't know, do you bike, dance, hike, hiking?
Yeah, hiking, running. I, you know, I could do more of all that stuff.
Oh,
but
good.
I love to, you know, be active and running. And I say running is really my main, you know, means of getting that out for sure. But, yeah, hiking too.
Yeah, because you know what, Owen, you, okay, it's balancing because you are very yin. You're very you have an introverted part of you, a strong introverted aspect to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to get that fire and also to balance. I even feel with the work you're going to be doing, some of the healing work. Like I see massage, but I'm also seeing something with energy work also.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And there's going to be something with little vials. I don't know if it's like a Young Living oil or something. There's like something, I don't know if it's colloidal, silver. There's some kind of liquid, and then there's some kind of little gems or something.
Mm,
you're
going to cool.
find this that on some kind of trip, and you're really going to love, because you kind of have a little scientist aspect to you also.
Yeah, I do.
Changes. Yeah, like what if I eat this or you take this, this chemical change that happens.
Yeah.
So I do see you getting a bit into that, and the body, into the body more. It's foods. It's for you to. I keep seeing like in the center of your body. I'm seeing like in the Hatha center. You know, the third chakra, the abdomen,
yeah.
and solar plexus, that whole area. I'm seeing like a fire. You know, like the little icon of a fire, like when you're texting that little fire icon. So there's something about you making sure that that fire, you're really not just fired up, but you're nurturing that inner fire. There's a lot of power there. So it could be digestion, but the movement is going to help with that. And then something about the foods that you're eating as well.
Okay.
So there could What's happening
with
the foods that you're eating?
I'm a pretty healthy eater, I gotta say. I mean, food and nutrition and diet is always something that I'm really, been interested in and always sort of experimenting with. But you know, just doing like a lot of fermented foods
Okay.
So yeah, okay. Cool.
So. Yeah, so a lot of ferment. Well, check in with the body to see what it needs and wants. Do you ever just kind of do that? You know, you can use pendulum or one of the techniques that I've been sharing with people, and I think I've said it on air, is working with the subtle energy. So literally putting two foods or beverages or three or whatever, especially if you have a flash for something, because I know sometimes we have a flash for something, but yet we're on this certain food regime and it's like no that's not in it, and then you just kind of see, just look at the foods or the items and then just take a couple like deep breaths just to kind of neutralize the energy, and then see your body will literally lean in. It could be for some people it's pretty extreme, some people it's just very subtle, but you know, you'll feel like a gentle, like a nudge or leaning in or leaning towards, or the body will actually go towards. So, you know, our body is like a big sonar, right? It's a big crystal itself, big pendulum, however you want to say it. So an antenna. So our body will naturally go towards, if the mind doesn't get in the way, right? What we actually need. So yeah, maybe play around with that and see what does that.
Yeah, I'll experiment with that definitely. I feel like lately too, I've just been so having certain like really crazy little like psychic experiences and just really kind of connected more in with like through dreams and also it's been cool. And your show has been really great and helpful for me too just during this time, so I just want to thank you for that, because it's been
very cool.
Yeah.
I love hearing
definitely.
that. And speaking of that, I'm going to put it in the chat. But it's next week. I am doing these teleseminars.
Mm-hmm.
I put it in the chat. Yeah. But the next one is using the subtle energy and metaphysical principles for manifesting. I've been doing these for a while, monthly in person, in the Los Angeles area. Now I'm doing the teleworkshop so anybody can attend. But it's really key to connect into our subtle energy, because that's where if you're feeling that subtle energy when you're getting your psychic messages, you'll have a higher rate of accuracy because there's less mental filtering, including when you're manifesting. So it's about really drawing things in from the soul. So anyway, put it in the chat, and I'll try to keep remembering, because we'll have another one. Hopefully, we'll be doing it monthly for a while. So,
cool.
But you guys can find it. I don't know if you're on my Facebook page. You can find it.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'll definitely check it out. That sounds awesome. So, yeah, I'll definitely,
cool,
definitely
Owen.
Check it out.
Great.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
You're so welcome. Take good care.
Bye.
Yeah, I had, and some of you that are regular listeners will appreciate this, met up with Yogini. Katarina De Leva from Sweden was here, and we had an amazing, I think it was, yeah, dinner at Creation. Just a fabulous time, and we were, and then we went to the beach and just hung out, and she's really quite lovely, and she's got some new things happening, and she's doing a lot with her photography, and I think going to be going back into the studio. And but we got on the topic of, and she, it's so funny because she started to say it, the secret. We were talking about this, and I said, oh, it's BS, and she started laughing, and I said, yeah, because it's all egoic. It's all, and it's also not correct metaphysical principles that you can't use the law of magnetic attraction. Listen to it's an oxymoron. Use the law of magnetic attraction. It's magnetic. You're attracting by your frequency. You're and hopefully you're attracting more by your soul design, so your life is more fulfilling. And she brought up, I loved it. We were having a good laugh about it, and you know, that it's just a big marketing scheme, and she had some background information on how the marketing went and how it got out there. And then she said, they forgot the soul, and started laughing. And I said, that's right. I could never articulate it. And I'm like, yeah, there's no soul. They forgot the soul. And she said, everyone has, you know, if we're going to use a Buddhist term, their own dharma. We have our own life experience, expression, lessons, life, we have our own unfolding, and not one is better or worse than the other, you know. So images like in that DVD, you know, the secret DVD of people that don't have famine, or they don't have, you know, or people that aren't making as much money, or maybe living in their car, how they didn't get it somehow. They're not using the secret. They don't know the secret. And it's like, no, that's, you know what, that's BS. That's Everyone's life is sacred. Some are more preferred because of our, you know, social constructs, our mental constructs, what we've created as a society, that something's more preferred. But that doesn't change that everyone's life is sacred, even if, you know, you're living in a little village in Turkey or something, or Afghanistan or something, and going through those trials. Or I don't know, I've seen some shows on like PBS where the people live near the trash heaps, and they learn how to, without machinery, to recycle, and it's passed on for generation and generation, and that's just as sacred and important of a divine expression as somebody that is, you know, a minister in the church, or has a, you know, a TV ministry or something, or whatever, or celebrity. You know, we're really all the same. And, yeah, and that's what it got, the soul, and that's what my contention has been, and you guys have been hearing me, you know, kind of get on my little soapbox about it. You know, I've been saying this for many, many years, the soul, the soul, the soul. If it's in the soul template, it'll happen. If it's not, it won't happen. And if you connect to your truest desires, not inculcated, not enculturized, not social construct or societal construct, just gender construct, not constructed ego, but genuine fulfilling joy, natural joy, those desires, you know, withstanding the wounding, hopefully healed from the wounding. If you really connect in, you will, you know, it will be aligned to your soul. So there's no way, you know, there's ways around it, but to live more, you know, more fulfilled, more joyfully. Sorry, guys, I was texting something in the chat. To really live that soulful life, or soul-filled or fulfilled life, you have to find out what's really important to you. And Tamara's putting up, so much peace is self-acceptance. Yeah, That's beautiful, Tamara. Yeah, you will move into that space of self-acceptance. Self-acceptance, self-love equals peace. So let me share just really quick before we shift. We're starting to shift gears in just a minute. That the principles for manifesting, the LA workshop, Soul Path Group, will be this Saturday at 1:30 Pacific time. Principles for manifesting, using the subtle energy and metaphysical principles for manifesting. And then next Saturday, the 29th, from 3 p.m. Pacific time, will be the tele workshop. So if you are open for that, into that, I wanted to see what the dream. We're still waiting for our guests to get on air a couple more minutes. And then we will have Carl Anthony. Looking forward to that. Karen sent in a long dream, so I'm going to take a little bit of it at a time. I think he's here on the. Well, maybe let's get to it next time, and I'll dive into that. As always, if you would like me to answer questions on air, or you have dreams you want answered, or guest suggestions, topic suggestions, things you want covered, guests you'd like us to bring back, or new guests that you have, please just email awakeningsradio@gmail.com or awakeningsatselfinlight.com. And we will take care of that for you because, you know, this is a community program, so we want to do what works for everyone. So kind of look at that. So our guest today is Carl Anthony. And as I was saying at the top of the program, met him years ago and been to a few of his concerts. And they're just very dynamic, very uplifting, but also inspiring. I think if you go to one of his concerts, you can't help but leave saying, how can I do more? How can I share more? How can I be more of service? And how can I tap more into my creativity? I think those things really come about. His life-liberating concerts and social action contributions are legendary, from 20,000-seat arenas in Moscow to a child's hospital room. His work literally unites humanity. Carl has received several Gandhi King Season for Nonviolence Peace Hero Awards for his humanitarian efforts. And when he's not touring the world, he works at Rady's Children's Hospital as part of their Healing Arts Department, providing musical outlets and connections for children and their families. Currently, Carl is traveling with his new show titled Mantra, which is his laser-light atmospheric concert, utilizing a fusion of world rhythms and Eastern-style chanting. To Carl, touring India has influenced this latest style and centers the music and experience to involve the entire audience. Carl has also founded the successful National School Assembly program called Strike a Chord with Kids and Strike a Chord CD and DVD series. I want to welcome to the program Carl Anthony.
Well,
welcome,
hello.
Carl.
Hi,
hello.
Michelle. How are you? And it's so good to hear your voice.
Great. Oh, you as well. And you've been so extremely filled up, busy. So I'm glad we can finally bring you on air because I want to share your work and your outlook with so many more people. You really touch so many lives. Yeah. So let's dive in a little bit here. That what would you say the first turning point with you? Because I believe you grew up as a musician, right? If I recall.
Actually, no. I'm one of those late bloomers. Actually, I didn't
love
pick
it.
Up,
even better.
Yeah, I didn't pick up a guitar until I was 23 years old, and that's way late in the game. But you know, sometimes there's inspiration comes your way through the passion of others. I was invited to be a part of a very amateur musical theater group, and we were just it was a group that just wanted to share their creativity, and they needed especially more male energy in this particular group, so they enrolled me and said, come on and be a part of our group. And I said, are you kidding? I don't sing. And they go, ha, half of us don't either. Come on, let's go. and that was the first time I'd ever been on a stage. I was 23 years old, and I got up on the stage with this group of people, and we did a musical theater type of thing, and I just got the bug. I literally felt like I had come home, that somehow in front of people sharing that way was something that I was going to do. And so, inspired by everybody playing a different instrument, I went ahead and started playing piano, started playing the guitar, and never looked back.
Wow. See, no wonder, because I literally, and I've seen you perform, play, create, I don't know, perform, I think it implies separation, and there's a lot of group participation, or, you know, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I feel when you do inspire, but you also inspire, like, you can do it. Whatever it is that you want to do, you can do it. And so maybe that's so maybe that's why you're transmitting that, is because you, again, like you said, calling yourself a late bloomer, that you just, okay, I'll try this, you know, and look where it got you. I mean, it's just a huge transition in your life, and calling, apparently, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. I feel real fortunate to really have found what I'm here to do. And I think that's the big question that so many of us ask is, you know, what's mine to do? And, you know, within the context of being, you know, performing my music, I'm always needing to ask, you know, where am I to serve next? But at the same time, at least I do know that I'm here to do to share my music, and the universe has opened its doors, you know, every step of the way. This is my 29th year. Next year will be my 30-year anniversary of sharing my music. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Wow. Now, Carl, if I can ask, just to give, because I think people hearing your story and knowing where you are now for how you started, it's pretty amazing. What were you doing before? And did you ever have an idea to do music? Or was that just something that kind of came out of the blue?
Well, you know, I was like many of us. You know, I was inspired by other people who did music, and I always thought, boy, that looks like fun, that type of thing. But no, until I found myself invited. I often say, that, you know, invitations come to us all the time, and it's really up to us to say yes. You know, when I was invited to be a part of this musical theater group, there was it was a little scary, the whole idea of it, and yet there was also a little inkling part of me that felt like, oh, you should try it, you know, and I'm so glad I did, because it's that invitation that happens that is always available, I think, for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You were just going to ask that very question. I still feel like there's a part of life that you can't design the entire experience. You have to have an openness to realize that there's something happening all the time in your favor, and that it's, you know, it's up to you to recognize it and to be willing to play within it. And so that's kind of how I move through life, and I'm always expecting the invitation and willing to say yes when it feels right. And many times it doesn't. But when it doesn't feel right, then I'll say no. You know, but That is.
And how do you know that? Is it more by feeling intuition, or is it kind of like, oh, I did that already, or I don't want to do that, or is it still again more of this kind of inkling intuition?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it's intuition. I think life is all about this building that inner sense. And for me, I mean, I've shown up to experiences that I have wondered why in the world did I say yes to this, you know. And so, I mean, I completely, like, you know, a lot of that intuition comes from, you know, of being thrown up against a wall and realizing that's not what I want to do, and hopefully learning from that experience and saying no the next time. But yeah, I think it's intuition.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that, the idea of the inkling. And I love what you're saying about, well, two things. You can't design the entire experience and then have this openness, which to me, and I think you said it, implies that, you know, that the openness that what's best for you or will come to you, or, you know, in other words, like the universe is not against you, working against you, that you can trust this unfolding.
Right. But yeah, I believe that there's absolutely nothing being held back. I mean, the flow and the love and the energy and the opportunity and everything about the experience of life is always present, always there, always available. And it's just life is a process of allowing yourself to ride in that wave of definitely, yeah, of that yes, you know. And so because it's always there, it's always existing, it's always present, it's always flowing around you. And that's the wheels on the bus keep turning.
Exactly. Now, Paul, because I feel like you're, in a way, I mean, yeah, you're saying you show up, but you've kind of created or co-created, however, you know, something out of perhaps nothing. I mean, you really, right, developed this or guided to do this genre, and it, yeah, you know, that really took hold. I guess that, but also I want to know, was that a vision from the very beginning, or was it an unfolding?
I think it was an unfolding in many ways, and at the same time, the focus of what I always wanted to do with my music was for there to be authentic interaction. You know, it's very. I mean, we've all been in an audience where we're being asked to do something in a participatory way that feels a little contrived or feels a little forced or feels like please don't make me do something right here, you know. Or it's just, but at the same time, I always experience what if the experience, you know, was just automatic? What if the audience and the performer was just one experience where everybody felt like that we're all a community operating together? And so, you know, that was truly a pursuit. I mean, that's kind of one of the big reasons I've moved also into so many different type of styles. Like I love working, of course, with kids. I love working with all kinds of audiences. But I also have moved deeply into kirtan music. You know, my own version of that call and response, utilizing chanting, where it's not about a performance. It's about the audience becoming one unit together. And so it feels really beautiful, and it feels really connecting. It feels like it's about community, and it's about everyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, you kind of did your own version, I think, in the beginning. I guess it's now more formalized, of a bit of the call and response, getting the audience.
Yeah.
Right? I mean...
In a sense. I mean, yeah, that's why the chanting has been such a I mean, I've been chanting from the very beginning, just in a whole different way. You know, it was more fun oriented before, where now I can, I do things in, you know, on all spectrums. As a matter of fact, this Friday at the Grove in Hollywood, I'm doing a concert for an event called it's the Yoga Solstice. And that's this Friday, and we're going to be doing a kirtan experience where everybody's going to be outdoors, and we're going to be sharing the mantra experience through my new music.
Mm-hmm. I wish we could have a clip. We didn't. Let's see. I'm getting some questions here. Where can they go to hear your some of your music, or are you on Amazon or where?
Well, actually, I could just go to Carl. Just go to carlanthony.com. Carl with a K.
Okay. Yeah, carlanthony.com. Okay. And that's for anybody in the chat and also those that are listening. That question will be answered there, carlanthony.com. Yeah. So, yeah, you have gone through a lot of different, unfoldings, evolutions of music. What do you find, I know we said in the opening India, but what is most influencing you right now in your music?
I'd have to say my experience of India. Mm. It's, you know, and also I hesitate a little bit because there's two things. And one is my yearly travel to India. I bring people on trips to India these days, and we go and we do service work in the schools, but my connection with the music there and the people and the musicians, that has certainly influenced me. But it's also my work with the schools and kids, and even when I'm home, you know, working in a children's hospital, dealing with that really sensitive issues of a family who has a child who's in pain, or possibly they're losing a child. I mean, that has been a huge impact on me these days, and that's, I've been doing that for the last 8 years.
Mm.
So I'd say those.
So tell, you'd say what? Go ahead.
I would just say those two experiences, India and the children's hospital.
Mm-hmm. And tell us about the school assembly, because you do something in hospitals as well, right? There's going to the hospitals,
yeah,
and then strike a chord with kids. Is that a school program, or
yeah,
is that also in the hospital?
Yeah, that's the strike a chord with kids is a school assembly program I do in the school system. So that's a program that is a real positive, uplifting, very issue-specific program that of all these different songs that I've done, that I do concerts for the school system. Now, the Children's Hospital, that's a program
mm-hmm.
called Healing Arts. And that's completely different. That's just me with my guitar going from room to room and singing with kids and families and connecting with them on a human level, in order to bring them to a place of less stress and connection. A lot of times being a conduit where you're using the music to connect their family members with the child, because when stress enters the game, so often so many different dynamics happen. So music can be that more beautiful tool that brings people to connect together even closer. So that's what I do at the hospital.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's very, I know a lot of studies showing this, very stress-releasing, relaxation-inducing, even
mm-hmm.
studies on pain that you know,
oh, yes,
people with chronic pain are going, yeah, that music can literally not just ameliorate that, but actually alleviate that pain. So you have quite a bit going on, Carl. I want to let people know a little bit more, because you did say the trips to India, these, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, each year, I take people on a two-week trip to India, and these are trips that are service-oriented trips, where for one week out of the trip, we go from school to school, from special needs schools, schools in the slums, and we sing for the kids, and we actually see the country, experience the country through the eyes of the children and the people. And what we do is, not only do we have that experience of connecting with those people, but those actual schools that we're singing for, 10% of the trip, that cost of the trip, goes to support these schools. And that has been an amazing thing. We're supporting like 7 schools right now in Delhi and Bangalore and Rishikesh. And then we also have we're going to, on this next trip to India, we're going to be also going to the International Yoga Festival in Rishikesh. So we'll be staying in an ashram and being a part of the yoga festival. And that's in February.
And when is that now?
Next year.
Okay.
February.
We're on the same February. Okay. Is it the same time every year?
Yeah, well, you know, it's different times each year, but this time it's going to be the end of February, beginning of March. People are interested in it, they just go to my website and it says India Trip, and all the information is up in there. But it's absolutely an amazing experience. Have you been to India yet?
Yes, a couple times, and was in an ashram for. Only not long enough. I think two, 3 weeks.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Oh my God! Yeah, I see what one of my teachers, one of my gurus said. You know, anyone, it's easy to just be in the Himalayas or be in the ashram, but we have to take our work out into the world. That clearly was the case.
But I think it's
a powerful experience.
Yeah, that's the big reason why, you know, out of the 2 week experience that I provide for people, we have, you know, 1 week in the ashram and 1 week in the probably the most challenging areas of Delhi, which in the slums, where we're there providing service for the schools, and it's an amazing experience when you see the appreciation of these kids and how they're living. It's just beyond belief.
Yeah, it is, and how they make their way. I remember when I first got to India. I think it was we came into Mumbai. There were just. I woke up, I don't know, it was like 5 in the morning or something, maybe, or it was maybe even a little bit earlier, 4:30, and the house we were staying at, there was this whirring, like, and I thought, my God, what is that sound? And I looked out the window, and I just saw thousands of people, you know, all, you know, on skateboards, on makeshift this, wheelchairs, walking, some with a leg, without leg, I mean, just all manner of humanity. And I remember saying to our host in the morning talking about this sound, and the man had said, well, that's the sound of thousands of people coming into the city to work. And it was powerful, and they were coming, some in trees, some in I don't know what those big round pipes that go in like in the sewer or, you know, underground for water or whatever, and just everywhere. And I thought, wow, that you know, intensity, but the beauty of how we're all meant to survive and hopefully thrive, you know, if we can or we get the assistance to, you know, and then at the same time to create, because some of those same people are the ones, or the kids that are, you know, doing the maybe a little acts with the dogs or singing or whatever that they learn to do to make their way in the world. But I think too, Carl, and I bring this up because I do find it's almost unbelievable the conditions to live in, and at the same time, the beauty of what one can make happen if need be, you know.
Well, you just said it right there. You just said exactly mm-hmm. it. I mean, the ingenuity of the human spirit, because you look at a group of an enormous group of people, not everybody in India, because there's great wealth there as well, but so many people
absolutely.
In India that absolutely have nothing, absolutely zero, and the ingenuity that they have and the acceptance of their world and their life, it's pretty profound, and it can help but to take you to places in your own life that will transform it. So I agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm. And I find there is more work now with the slums. Is it easy to get with permits and all that kind of stuff? I mean, I imagine you have to go through a lot of stuff to get your group assembled there to help.
Yeah, well, I'm fortunate enough to have an Indian family who are dear, dear friends of mine who live in Bangalore who set everything up for us. I'm dear friends of this family. I'm the godfather of both of their children, and we've been friends for a long time. And they live in Bangalore, and so it would be difficult for me to set this all up on my own. So to have their assistance has been just wonderfully beautiful. I feel very honored and blessed.
Mm-hmm. And let's say people that can't go, is there a way that they can help? Because sometimes I'll get, you know, emails from our listeners that, you know, gosh, I wish I could do more, or, you know, I can't go there, or I can't afford to go there right now, but I'd like to help. Or what
yeah.
can I do? I hear that a lot. What can I
do?
You know,
nice.
I either don't.
Well, actually,
the
one thing that you could do is a portion of the proceeds from my latest CD, India, goes to support the schools. And that's, you can just get that and on the carlanthony.com website, and there's a place there to donate as well if they choose to do that. But that would be a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Okay, good. Because I think, you know, I think having options of what people can do or give, whether it's time wise or money wise or combination, I think, you know, everyone has their own level. You know, so that's
mm-hmm.
good too.
I agree.
Good to know. And I noticed on one of the songs, I think it's Om Shanti, the video, you have In My Awakening.
Mm-hmm, In My Awakening.
Tell us a little bit about that
reflecting. That's one of the songs on the new India CD that we just talked about. And my mantra concert, it's titled Mantra, and it mm-hmm. is an experience of sitting in a beautiful environment of beautiful, colorful lights, and these are special lights called bliss lights, and bliss, yes, B-L-I-S-S.
Ah, okay.
Bliss lights,
okay.
And they're—it's this beautiful environment, kind of like you're in you're floating in the middle of the universe. And I explain this only because, for myself, in my awakening, the song and many other chants came to me during a time of a lot of pain in my life. It was all about transition for me. My life was transitioning from a 20-year marriage, and I was resisting that. You know, anything we resist is painful. And I was resisting that idea of my life changing, you know, and that relationship no longer being around. And I was feeling very, very in a dark place. And so I would sit in a dark room, and I would have a candle burning, and I would just sing and chant and sing and chant, and that's what kind of came out of me. And many of the songs, many of the chants that are part of the India CD, including In My Awakening, are songs that came from, you know, me coming into being in a dark place and coming out of that
mm-hmm.
into the light.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I love that.
So they feel, you know, so and that's when my that's when mantra was born, because I felt like maybe other people would like to sit in the dark with me and we could chant together. And
yeah.
And thus mantra was born.
Ah, okay. So from that place, from going through that transition, that pain, the transformation, this is one of the byproducts, and this was birthed from that.
Completely. Completely, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the things, you know, and of course, it was that, and also the great inspiration of my godchildren, Shivani and Kushani, who would, you know, would introduce me to Sanskrit. They had little prayers
mm-hmm.
that they would do in Sanskrit, and I thought that was so beautiful. And so they taught me a little bit of Sanskrit at the time, and then I started when they moved to India, I decided I had to go see them, and one thing led to the other, and you know how it just life took a hold of me and said, "You're going to do this now."
Wow. See, and that's what I'm glad that story to me kind of highlights something that my perception anyway, and I've been sharing it, is that I feel we have many awakenings, not just one, you know, and then what we do with it, because I feel like when you're becoming more awake, there's always some kind of, you know, process or darkness or something we didn't know or something we're going through. But then what do we do with it as we awaken, almost like a flower, you know, blooming? There's
right.
eventually more light, insight, more creative energy, you know. So that, very powerful, very. And I like how you went with it. You literally said you were in a dark room with a candle. So it feels like you really went with this, you let the process take you. You let this unfolding kind of take you.
Yeah, you know, I did, and at the same time, I'll have to tell you, I was in such a dark place that I literally thought that I was going to quit performing. I really got to a place in my life where I was just feeling like, you know, I'm just tired of being the light of the world. I am. I don't. You know. I'm. I don't know that I can do it anymore. And it was many weeks and a couple months of just being in that place. That. And the thing that comforted me, of course, was always for me the music, and at the same time, it was the music that eventually brought me out of it. You know, brought me out of my mm-hmm. funk and brought me into feeling like. Seeing the light again. So,
It's weird. One of my spiritual teachers had said, years and years ago, that if you don't get to that place ever,
mm-hmm.
then you can't really get to the next level. You have to be able to really just either give it all away or I can't do this anymore. That, you know, every, whatever it is, artist, whatever you're called to do, at some point you will get there, and then that's when you really, he was saying, that's when you really burst through. That's when you really burst through.
Wow. I feel like I've been bursting.
Yeah, you've been bursting. I think there are a lot of bursts in our life. I guess I've been there a few times, right? In a few different ways. We keep bursting forth, you know.
That's right.
I remember once years ago, I'd lived in Europe. I'd done so much. And I got to such profound peace in my life. And I had no desires, no goals, no ambition. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to die. And I remember telling friends I was giving stuff away. And I was so calm. And I was talking to a friend of mine who's also another spiritual mentor and teacher. And she said, you'll come out of it. And I said, no. I said, I think something's going to happen. You know, the soul knows, and I was all, you know, pious. Oh, the soul knows, you just know. And 6 months, a year, I'm still here. And then all of a sudden, a year later, I get, boom, inspired. And then I want to create. I want to do this. I want to do that. And my friends are like, what happened to you dying? I go, I died in a different way, you know.
Still here. That's right. You had to go through, you know, just the quiet period for a while. So,
yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. I guess that's what it is. I guess you have to fill back up. Let me ask you, as a musician, you do a lot in service, and then the singer-songwriter aspect, then the performing aspect. Do you find there are periods where, like you mentioned, quiet period, where you have to refill, or is it constant with the songwriting?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I get a lot of I'm traveling a lot, and at the same time, I'm finding myself in beautiful places, and I always, within the context of the traveling, I'm always taking, you know, several days here and there, and of course, you know, having a meditation practice is for me very key. But I
okay.
I feel very nurtured. With a lifestyle, there are times when things get too busy, and I definitely feel it in my body, and I feel it in my, you know, my energy. But I find that I try to pace things in a way that I'm constantly being inspired. Being physically healthy helps me a lot too. I try to keep things limber and healthy.
Mhm. As a songwriter, do you write songs continually, and then put them to the side, or is it more theme based? Something comes up, and then you start writing. How is your process with that?
I write every single day. Every single day. And often, obviously, you know, there's a lot to do in this life, and so it's usually just I'll either get an inspiration to start writing something, or I'll work on something that I've been writing before. I have a software program that I just have everything organized, and I have probably 200-300 songs, you know, half started, that I'm always pecking away at and working on. But I get an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much every day I get, I always, as a writer, what you have to do is you have to set time to write. And usually for me, it's in the morning, and, I'll sit, and I'll, you know, sometimes I only have 15, 20 minutes to write, but, you know, I prefer to do it for several hours.
Wow. So you get it in. And when you're writing, is it little with your guitar, do you work out
mostly
chords and then the words come?
Yeah.
You do. Okay.
Yeah, mostly with the guitar. I occasionally work with piano as well, but most of the time it's with guitar, because that's usually what I'm performing with, and that's just what I gravitate to.
Mhm. I guess one would find their medium over the years, the way and the kind of the process,
right,
kind of gets you in tune. But that's amazing that you are writing every day, and that the songs are there. That's great. You know, it's like.
Oh yeah, no, there's no shortage of inspiration. That's for sure. I tell people the day that I die, they'll find 200-400 half-written songs.
Ah. And what inspires you? Is it just anything, or just?
Yeah, pretty much. It's just a little bit of it's just life, you know. I get a lot of ideas when I'm walking. I like to hike. In meditation, this life, you know, interactions with kids at the hospital. you know, just whatever.
I was thinking to be inspired. Do you have what? Go on.
I'm sorry. I have this this beautiful, beautiful inspiration. A lot of times kids will give me little gems. I had this one little boy at the hospital one time. He said that receiving chemotherapy was like having an earthquake inside him.
Oh, wow. I know.
It was amazing. And it took me right back, and I said, what are you talking about? What do you mean? He goes, you know, it's like the ground is shaking inside me. And I thought, you know, what am I going to say to this little guy? He was a little 7-8-year-old. And I said, well, what do you do when the ground is shaking inside you? And he thought for a minute. He put his hand in the air and he said, hold the sky. And I couldn't believe how beautiful of a sentiment this was from this little child. And so I said, let's write a song called Hold the Sky. And it's got to be one of my favorite songs. I'm actually releasing an album this fall, and it'll be titled Hold the Sky. And it's again, it's just inspired by this you know, beautiful little angel who just gave me this gift of this idea for a song.
Mm-hmm. But you're open to it, the inspiration, and I think that's key.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're seeing it, you know, feeling it.
Yeah,
as
we started off the interview with, I think we're best when we expect the miracles, expect the inspiration to be there, expect the love to be there, expect gratitude to be there. Just I think we're all easier to get along with when we just expect the best.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I like that. So true. Tamara in the chat is saying, please, Tom, thank you so much. Really appreciate his being this. I see he has a full schedule, but will be local to me in October. We'll try to go hear him. Oh, great, Tamara. Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So for more information, also, I imagine your touring schedule is also online, I would imagine,
mm-hmm.
at carlanthony.com. Okay, great.
That's right.
And anything coming up else you want to know about?
Well, actually, the big thing would be, it'd be great, anybody up in the Hollywood area, L.A. area, to come on up. I start at 7:30 at the Grove, outside at the Grove. It's right in the middle of Hollywood.
Oh, great. Is that today?
That's Friday, this coming Friday night.
Oh, Friday. Great.
Yeah, it's a winter solstice celebration.
Oh, perfect. That's what somebody was putting in the chat earlier. They must have gone to your site. Oh, perfect. So those of you that are listening, Carl Anthony will be in concert. It's an amazing experience. We'll be this Friday for the solstice at 7:30 at the Grove, which is also the old Farmer's Market, right? Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is wonderful. Thanks, Carl, so much for being with us. We're out of time right now, but I really appreciate you taking time to share with us.
It was a joy to speak with you.
All right. Be well. Much peace.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and of course our guest was Carl Anthony, singer, songwriter, humanitarian, and just all in all nice guy, just showing up and creating and being of service. You can find out more information about Carl Anthony and his new CD, India, as well as the Mantra Kirtan concerts at carlanthony.com. Thanks, everyone, for being with us. I always love my Wednesdays with you. Again, for any questions, comments, topic suggestions, just email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com or awakeningsatselfinlight.com. Thank you so much, those that are in the chat room, Sacred Space of Empowerment Room. I always love having you there. They're my co-pilots, you know. And thank you all of you that called in. And again, as always, every Wednesday from 12 to 12:50 p.m., we do readings, chat, talk metaphysical principles, meditation, dream interpretation. If I didn't get to you, for your reading this Wednesday or didn't get to your email question this Wednesday, we'll catch you next Wednesday. So until then, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and, of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.